Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Nittany Lions last night, basketball won. Yes, there will be the, how the end played out. You know what?
Had them all the way. Where, gritty win there. That was a gritty win at the rack. Gritty win.
Yeah, but you know what? This is where I am in all this, to be completely honest with everybody. They won. Okay? Now, if you want to do the style point thing, fine. You know, take up gymnastics and figure skating. They won.
Bottom line, keep the momentum going leading up to Illinois on Sunday.
I've done too many beautiful losses in my lifetime, okay?
The emphasis on beautiful.
Right? Oh, wow, they play great. Oh, they just... Oh, you know what? Guess what? I'll take 25 ugly wins anytime. The first half, they played beautiful basketball. The second half, the big part, the big play was the hook and hold with 8 minutes to go. You're up 12, 8 minutes to go. They call the hook and hold. I mean, we only had a scoreboard view of it. It looked like, to me, it was a legit call. But that's... Guess what? It is... You got on the bus, and guess what? You won the game.
I heard no less than three, not one, not two, but three analysts postgame last night. There is one team you do not want to play in the Big Ten tournament next week, and that's Penn State.
Well, they got to keep it going. They got Illinois on Sunday at noon. Illinois got Indiana tonight. But again, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is you won the game. That's all that matters. After that, it's up to the coaches as to whether, you know what, as to looking at the tape and say, okay, you did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, you did this right. No. But I'm sorry. I got just too many games that, you know, this year, too many games in my career. Oh, boy, they play. Hey. Too bad it just came up short.
Although I did see one crazy post last night. Oh, the team's got to wear black and pink the rest of the season. It's like, I don't know about that, but it's got nothing to do with what happened last night.
I know. I tell you right now, it is a real interesting world out there. Okay? Let's take it to the other side. Rutgers has five sellouts this year. They lost all five. Should they now strive not to have sellouts? Of course not. They should wear... I know. They should wear pink and black all the time. I got it. Yay. They won. That really is... Yeah. That's sort of the deal. In the end, it's all that matters. I said, I've done all these beautiful, beautiful losses in my career. Oh, incredible how they played. Wow. Oh, just missed. No. I've had enough. Just give me the 1-point win. I'll move on. Yeah, certainly is an interesting... Interesting way to go about it. All right. We'll have Joe Lenardi on the show today. Speaking of guys that... I really... You know how much I personally like Joe. Joe's done St. Joe's as the color analyst for years. He's just one of the really great guys, and he knows his stuff. And it's not a question of when you see what Joe Lenardi puts out. Joe Lenardi is not putting out his opinion as to how this is going to go. He is trying to think along with the same data the committee's using. You know, what's your net ranking? How many quad one wins do you have? I mean, Penn State, you realize last night Penn State picked up its sixth quad one win of the season? Rutgers was in the top 75. Top 75 on the road is a quad one win.
Well, a lot of people take stock in what Joey Brackett says and dishes out, and including Matt Painter. Matt brought him up during postgame after the Minnesota game earlier this week and said, hey, you follow that ESPN guy. He knows.
He does know.
Sure does.
And he is brilliant at what he does.
Rarely does he whiff.
Unlike this show. No.
Not the reason why I brought that up.
I mean, this show's...
Oh, when he hunkers down in that bunker, though, tunnel vision, forget it. Laser-focused. Locked and loaded.
Yeah, but again, he's trying to think along with the committee. What's the data the committee's using? Oh, geez, Penn State's 41st now. Golly, 41. Yeah, I look at the 41, you know what I think of right away? What could have been? The 41.
I think Washington. I think of that Indiana game at home. Think of
oh,
that
game, the Purdue game. There's several games. There's several games in there. Yeah. You know, they finally picked up a win last night where they were in front. They held on at the end. Okay. But, yeah. They're 41 today.
The DePaul game way back in November before Thanksgiving, where they went on the trip.
Yeah, that's one where Miles got a shot, didn't hit it. But Mike Watkins didn't play in that game. And even if Mike Watkins plays 15 minutes in the game, they probably win it because that's where DePaul was doing damage, was inside. So, I don't know. It's, let's see, 41. Schedule strength 2. Yeah. Washington is 24-6. They're 42. Unreal.
Well, that matches up with Mike DeCourcy saying on the show yesterday. By the way, if you missed the interview, check it out on our podcast. Just how great top to bottom the conference is.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's why I brought it up. I think the middle and the bottom of the Big Ten is better than the middle and the bottom of the ACC. Now, the top of the ACC, let's be straight, the top of the ACC, I think, is spectacular, especially when Zion Williamson is there. I mean, the top is spectacular.
Yeah, speaking of the ACC, it'll be curious to know with Joey Penn Brackets State, if Virginia State, or North Carolina will get a number one seed when the brackets come out.
Penn State's 47 in the net. That's the NCAA ranking. 47. I just... Oh, find me a bridge. All right. Wow.
No, you tell other people to come down off the bridge.
I know, I've spent a lifetime doing that. Yeah, I've spent a lifetime doing that. Oh, just think of what could have been with this group. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. Yeah, you gotta... Yeah, you know what? You just gotta go with the flow. Go with the flow. It does get a little... You think of all those tight games, all those golden opportunities. Oh, well. Nope, you go to the next game. That's what I do. I go to the next game. Yeah, and they've got to close better. Look, I know that. They've got to close better. I know that. You know, you can't go the final 250 of the game and not score. You can't do that. But they also weren't in a position to get to the free throw line either. mean, Rutgers is overplaying. Bump, push, shove, overplay. Bump, push, shove, overplay. Oh, and guess what? Only had five team fouls. Penn State couldn't get to the free throw line. Oh, well. All right, we'll take a break. Joey Brackets. Well, Nate Bauer on the show today, too, right? As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. And we'll have Joe Lenardi in the next half hour talk with him. The top is going to be interesting in this. Virginia has only lost twice, and that was to Duke. And that's been the only one. Lost twice to Duke. You got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, Virginia has been terrific all year. They've got more offense this year than they had before. But they haven't been able to handle Duke. But just because they haven't been able to handle Duke doesn't mean anything. I mean, that doesn't, because they don't end up in the same bracket. They may never see each other. I mean, they may never see each other.
Yeah, Virginia and North Carolina both end up with number one seeds in their bracket, and Duke lands at two. I think the X factor out of all this is going to be Zion. If he's out, there's a shot Duke may not make it out of the opening weekend. They're just so completely different when he's not on the floor.
Well, what's interesting about Duke is they have several good players. Now, obviously, Reddish and Barrett are great players, but O'Connell's a good player. Waite is an okay player. Bolden, whom everyone thought was a top 10 pick when he signed, he's no better than an okay player. I mean, that's... they are not... Now, Williamson gives them that third player that is obviously completely outstanding. I mean, he's just terrific. And he is, in a lot of ways, the final piece of the puzzle. But again, O'Connell's really good. When O'Connell... gets to go out there and just shoot threes and doesn't have to worry about anything else. But if he has to do more, then they do have a problem. I mean, if he has to do more, they've got a problem. Now, as a pure three-point shooter, he's a really good specialist. Really good specialist. But that's what he is. He's a specialist. He's not an all-around player.
You know, when Zion's not out on the floor, you still have two other guys out there that are going to be taken in the top five in the NBA draft this summer. But they just look, they look young. When Zion's not out, the team just looks young. Obviously, they are, but it just doesn't leave you that impression that they don't have the highly touted freshmen out there. They just look young at times, and they are. I mean, they're going to make some mistakes along the way and get better. But I think people were surprised earlier this week when they were favored by, 24-25, and they only win by one to Wake Forest. But that's the key. Right. You only have to win by one, just like Penn State did last night.
I mean, they got through that game. Is anybody going to sit there and really worry or care about where they are right now? I mean, they won the game. Now, people are going to forget about the Wake Forest game. They're going to forget about it completely. It's going to be nothing. And that's, again, that's going to be, to be honest with you, that's all they're going to care about. How many wins did you get? Hey, Penn State's going to play Illinois on Sunday. Well, you know, when they play Illinois on Sunday, guess what? If Penn State were to win, you're not really going to think too much about the Rutgers game anymore. This is not going to happen. And that's the way it is at this time of the year. This time of the year, that's the way it is. Just get it, move on. Nobody, you know, if you want to sit there and you want to do style points, fine. Sit there and do style points. I honestly don't care. The problem is they're 13 up and 17 down right now, and that's, you know, they've had so many close ones. And that's been the unfortunate part of all this. Wrestling. Big Ten Championship. As pointed out on Inside Penn State Athletics, Penn State actually has not won the Big Ten Championship since 2016. Let's be very honest and straightforward about that. The Big Ten Championship is a stepping stone to the Nationals. How many guys can you... It's all about how many guys you can qualify. Winning the Big Ten title is great, but it is also about how many people can you qualify. They can get all 10 through, that'd be great. They get 9 through, that's terrific. That sets everything up. And see, that's the key. It sets everything up. Now, winning is awesome. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, Cale did not go out there to not win. Okay? He went out there to win. Cale always goes out there to win. And you know the odd thing about Cale is? He always wins. What a joy it is for Penn State wrestling fans, isn't it? What a joy. And they've brought a lot of joy to Penn State fans over the years. Hey, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, Fun News Radio 1070 WKOK.
New car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. You heard right. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LX for just $99 a month for only 24 months. Drive away in a 2019 Kia Soul for only $149 a month. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $10,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Kia Cadenza and $8,000 off a 2019 Sorento LX V6 with convenience package. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are for 24 months, 10,000 miles per year, $3,500 total fuel inside or equivalent rate. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Offers expire 3/31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us and very pleased to be joined by the outstanding Joe Lunardi. Joe, it's always great to hear you on the other end. I hope you are well and at the moment nowhere near the bunker.
I am fine, but I am extremely close to the bunker and will be pretty much every waking minute from now until the start of the tournament.
Look, hold out as long as you can.
You bet.
All right, so let's get to it. Let's start at the top. Virginia's lost twice, but they are happen to be to Duke. On your one line today and your two line today, where do things stand, Joe?
It would go in this order. On the top line, Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and this is a scoop because this is not what's reflected on the website, but we're about to make a change. I had actually no meetings, no commitments today until just now, and before championship week, I scrub all the seeds and look at all the data, and I'm moving Tennessee back to the fourth number one seed. So that'll be scrolling across the bottom of a television to be named later.
Very nice. Though, what was it data-wise that put Tennessee from a two back to a one?
I was keeping Kentucky there because they had more quad one wins than Tennessee, and Kentucky's best win, I thought, was better than Tennessee's best win. But in looking at it, looking at some home road splits, Tennessee with a far better set of performances away from home. So it's that close right now. And I'm not even sure either of those teams is the best team in their own league. It might be LSU, which sits at the top of the three line. But the number two seeds would go Kentucky, North Carolina. Actually, I think North Carolina is better than Kentucky.
Yeah.
But Kentucky did beat them on a neutral court way back, in 2018.
Yes.
And then the two Big Ten teams, Michigan State and Michigan, in whatever order you want, and I'll leave that up to you because you've seen them more than I have.
Right. Obviously I have. But Joe, does the game that they play on Saturday night then determine in the – again, you're trying to think along with the committee. I think that should be important here. You're trying to think along with the committee. So does that game as a singular entity at the end have meaning as to what line somebody's on or not?
Oh, for sure. I mean, particularly if Michigan State were to win and sweep the Wolverines, right? You know, they already won on the road, which should be the harder part of the double dip.
Right.
And now, you know, they get him at home and senior day and the finale and all that. All the stats would tell you that Michigan State's going to win. My gut is telling me that neither of those teams is significantly enough better than the other to sweep. So I'm going to go with the road team in the Wolverines.
Right. Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that both teams have injuries. Langford, of course, is out for the year. Mm-hmm. Ward broke a bone in his left hand. Matthews, I think he has a stress fracture, or at least he's trying to nurse one right now. Do injuries play a role in the thought process of a committee and also have a role in the thought process of what Joe Lenardi thinks and sees?
Yes, but, and the size of the but seems to, that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
I know. Okay, you're on the radio doing St. Joe's, man. This is what you do.
Yes, the size of it, seems to vary from year to year and from committee member to committee member. For instance, I thought last year with Bonzi Colson back, Notre Dame was as close to a lock to get the injury waiver as you could get. I say that as an informal injury waiver. There's not like there's a piece of paper.
Right.
But the committee didn't see it that way, and they were team number 69. Okay.
Right.
But at least he came back, played at the end of the regular season and in the ACC tournament so the committee could look at it with their own eyes. You know, in the case of these Michigan State guys, well, Langford for sure, but we don't know when or if they're coming back.
Right.
And, you know, that makes it harder to evaluate. And I think schools have become a little cagier about dangling the carrot of a return for any injured or suspended or whatever player, or coach for that matter. We've had coach suspensions in recent years. But I think fundamentally with a 30 to 35 game sample, it's your wins and losses more than your medical report that carry the day.
All right, I'm going to get to the bottom in a moment, but obviously there are those who say put the best 68 in there. Jay Billis has campaigned obviously hard about that. In reality, Joe, isn't that the at-large part, that once the automatics are done, that's actually that grouping of 30-plus teams is supposed to be, hey, the best of the rest? Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, like, you know, in the NFL, we call them wild cards.
Right.
Right? You don't win your division, you get a wild card.
Right.
In our sport and our tournament, you know, reasons beyond us, beyond our pay grade. There are 32 automatic qualifying conferences as determined by membership. I didn't pick that. You didn't pick that. Jay didn't pick that. It's just the way the sport is built. And it could be adjusted, and have at times been adjusted, the number of conferences and their automatic bid status over the years. But, you know, we've been in this 36 at-large, 32 automatics since, I want to say, at least 2011 when it went to 68 teams.
Right.
And, yeah, there's nothing magical about the number 68 other than it's what you get when you add 36 and 32 together.
Right, exactly.
And it actually, it's really that 36 is a derivative of 68 minus the automatics. So, you know, there was never any legislation that said put the best 68 in. Like, why not put the best 73 in, or, you know, 59, or whatever your birthday is? you know, what we're really talking about is best 36 plus best 32, or best 36 that aren't in the 32.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, if it were me, I would like to do two things. I would like to go back to 64.
Yes.
And one look at this year's bubble would be a really good endorsement of that idea.
No question.
But we know that's never going to happen.
Right.
I would also try to have, and I'm open to negotiation on this, but I'd try to have some minimum, some floor for tournament eligibility. Like, all due respect to the Big Ten and Indiana and the Big 12 in TCU, but on my board right now, team number 69 and 70 are TCU and Indiana, and combined, they're 12 and 23 in their league.
I mean, Joe, I mean, obviously, I've seen Indiana in person. Yeah, I mean, I've seen Indiana in person. They shouldn't be in. No offense, they should not be in.
I mean, they beat Michigan State twice. Fantastic. Yeah. Does that mean if they're 2 and 27, we got to have them on the board?
Right. No, I mean,
because like if the two were over the Golden State Warriors, do we have to have them on the board? Like, they keep score 35 times. And they haven't won very often.
I totally agree. You're exactly right about them. So I have two more questions that I know I have to let you go because you've got a hit coming up at the top. Number one, you just touched on it briefly, but where are your last four and your next four right now?
Yeah, the last four, and most of these teams are not covering themselves in glory at this point. NC State falls to the last four in by losing at home to Georgia Tech without Georgia Tech's best player, which should be impossible.
Yep.
NC State's best resume item at this moment is their non-conference schedule has risen from number 353 last in America to 352 next to last.
Okay.
I wouldn't even have the letters N and C on my keyboard with those numbers.
Exactly.
Okay, but, you know, my job, again, is to say what they're going to do, not what I would do. So they're on the list, along with Clemson, which won at Notre Dame last night, Alabama, which, you know, is your typical major conference, you know, kind of 500-ish team, and Temple, which is a pretty good team, but had a so-so non-conference schedule and is trying to be that fourth team out of the American. And they're at UConn tonight. They close at home with Central Florida. And I think they have to win that Central Florida game to have a realistic shot to hold their position. On the outside, mentioned TCU, mentioned Indiana. And then I could list 10 teams, and really none of them are getting an at-large bid. St. Mary's, Murray State, Furman, Creighton, Georgetown, Dayton, Davidson. There's really none of them that are credible in terms of, you know, the typical evaluation process. And given that, you know, I would go and put a worthy mid-major champion that doesn't get their automatic bid.
Right.
But, you know, part of me doesn't even want those teams to lose because, you know, in many ways I just get tired of the debate. Like, yeah. There's no, it's unequivocal in the data, Steve, over a 5 or 8 or 10 year period that the Woffords of the world perform better in the tournament than the Indianas of the world.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And I'm not saying that means Wofford is better than Indiana in terms of talent. I'm just saying it means they've been better at winning this year. And winning teams, by any statistical model, within reason, I'm not talking about teams in the bottom 50 here, like good teams. Right. Like, winning teams are more likely to win than losing teams are. And you don't need a bracketologist to understand that. No. But somehow the committee, you know, has got it, all its other secret sauce it's got to, you know, factor in.
Yeah, and that's going to be the last question, because I do know, in seeing in person, I saw Alabama in person. They played Penn State, and I saw Indiana in person. Now, just based on what you're saying, Alabama in, Indiana out, is absolutely correct by my eyesight in seeing the two teams. Now, the last question is this.
I'm not sure that either of those teams is better than Penn State.
Oh, no. You're absolutely, especially at this stage of the year, you're probably right the way Penn State
didn't win the right games or enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
But nobody's saying, I mean, Penn State's metrics are better than both those. Nobody's saying Penn State should be in because they have too many losses.
Exactly.
So why aren't we talking about Indiana?
Right. Exactly. Final question deals with methodology. That's one thing about when it comes to scheduling, you know, and you know in your spot, they didn't put the quadrant system in until the summer after everybody had scheduled. They didn't put net.
You mean
in.
The net? The net? As
no,
a
no,
metric.
No. I'm talking I'm talking about 18 months ago with the quad. They put that in after everybody had scheduled. This year they put the net thing in after everybody had scheduled. How difficult has it been for you to adjust to their thinking because they keep putting new methodology in?
Well, it's twice ruined a really good day at the beach in August because I've had to stop, you know, and react to. And I'm sure they're lying awake at night in Indianapolis thinking, you know, about my vacation. But now I'm not going to have any regard for their vacation.
good for you, Joe.
I mean, look, if I was an athletic director or a conference official or coach or a Dobo working on, I'd be a little tweaked by that.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure there's 10 people in the room, and of all the 10 people that have a vote, I'm not one of them.
Yep. Well, you know what? I sure would love it if you were, because you know what you're talking about. And that is always, to me, the single most important factor in any of these decisions. You know the great respect I have for you, and you're terrific. Thanks a lot, because I know your time is so valuable, Joe. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Steve. Let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story here.
You got that right, Joe.
Hey, good luck in Chicago.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Good luck to you going through everything in the bunker.
You bet. Catch you later.
Oh, the great Joe Lenardi. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Attention Central PA truck buyers! SMC is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
It is great to have you with us on the show today. Boy, Sean's been hitting it out of the park on this show. He's the one that set up Tony Knapp. He's the one that set up Mike DeCourcy. He's the one that set up Joe Lenardi. I mean, every time I turn around, he's making Bryce Harper look like a guy that bunts. All right, so
makes his debut here on WKOK Saturday at 1. First time at the plate for the Fightins.
Does the game count?
No.
It doesn't matter. All right, so... all right. Yeah, that'll be coming up on Saturday. We got a coach's show tonight. I got back about 2 in the morning.
I was going to ask you during the break how you did for time coming home.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. I guess 1:45 I got back, and I stopped once because I didn't get gas in New Jersey. I just grabbed the car, went to the arena, did the game, got out of the arena, and I finally got gas around Clark's Ferry. But I came back. I came back 78. Well, they wasn't that bad. It took me 3 hours and 40 minutes to get back. Not bad. And, look, they won. Well, look. There's certain things that, you know, they have to do. They can't play too fast at times. And I don't mean half court. But the other part, too, is you've got to be able, you're doing this stuff, you've got to stay away from live ball turnovers. That's what got Rutgers back in the game. Live ball turnovers. And when I look at the live, you're better off taking the ball. I'm trapped. Instead of throwing a stupid pass, take the ball, drop it out of bounds, go set your defense up. You're actually better off doing that. Better off. Because at least you can set your defense up. On a live ball turnover, you're now backpedaling, running the whole thing. That's why they're getting lanes to the bucket and making plays. And the hook and hold call. See, Patrick's issue on the hook and hold call was not the hook and hold call. His issue was that he felt 3 consecutive times down the floor, Lamar got belted around pretty good, and nothing was called. He said, now you call that? That's what his issue was. Holy Cross gets Bucknell in the Patriot. That'll be a Patriot League quarterfinal game. And that's tonight, right? 6:30 on Eagle 107?
You got it. 7 o'clock with Duggar courtside.
The winner will play Lehigh Army. That will be Sunday, and if it's Bucknell that wins, then Bucknell will host. Other games include Colgate at home with Boston University, and Ed DeChellis's midshipman of Navy, the number 5 seed, will be at Bender Arena against American. Yes, I've done a game at Bender. Let's see, where have I done games? I've done a game at Boston University. I've done a game at American. I've done a game at Navy. I have done a game at Bucknell. I have done a game at Lehigh. And the team practiced once at Army. So I've been, you know, I've made the Patriot rounds in my lifetime. In my lifetime. Didn't have to, you know, and I did it in such a way where, it, like, every stop wasn't at a Wendy's. So,
I hear you.
So does the suit.
Yeah.
That's the one suit complaint about the Duggar. It's not that the suit is anti-Wendy's, but after a while, you do get a fill of Dave's singles. I'd like 12 Frosties, please. What? What? Yeah. I hope you and your team have a good time. It's not for my team.
6 vanilla, 6 chocolate. What are you talking about? All chocolate. Come on.
All chocolate. What are you talking about? Who's ever had a vanilla Frosty? Have any of you out there had a vanilla Frosty?
I tried it after they came out. But we were given samples.
No.
We were given samples here at the station, and we did like an on-air taste test. It wasn't on WKOK. It was down the hall. So it's probably about 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, no, I never have. But I've ever had a Frosty. It's always a chocolate Frosty.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the way it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So, I hear you doing those Papa John's commercials. Hey. All right.
Yeah, that could be dinner tonight, since we'll be here with Ron and Bucknell in studio tonight.
Well, I've got, tonight I've got Permane Brothers.
You do?
They put
fries with that?
They put fries and slaw on everything. It's unbelievable. Could I have a brownie? Sure. My brownie is here. It's got fries and slaw all over it. Yeah. Like, no, no, no.
Gives it a little extra zing.
I mean, I wanted my brownie neat.
Neat, sweet, and fudgy.
Come on, man. I want fries and slaw in it. Oh, you Pittsburghers. Hey, tomorrow is probably the day we find out where your guy goes.
Oh, it's true. The trade could happen tomorrow for Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Will he go to the Raiders? Sounds like Arizona's out of the equation. There's one team, I thought of this. I can't remember if we talked about it earlier this week. Green Bay. What receivers do they have at Green Bay? But the thing is, though, they got a new head coach, and the last thing he needs to do is to deal with Antonio Brown because he has to now build up his rapport with Aaron Rodgers.
I'll tell you right now, man, he's my kind of receiver. He runs downfield, catches the ball. I love it. You know, he could go to the Raiders, and to his credit, could disappear from our TV screens.
Very true.
To the credit of the Raiders, they are not good.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.